been a restless one. I've been a restless one. Oh, I have loved. I've been a restless one. But these days I have a walk. I have walked alone. Oh, I have walked. I have walked alone. But you came to see me through. I will no longer walk. Love has come before. Love has come before. Oh, many, many, many times before. Love has come before. Oh, but what is different now? I just cannot say. Love came my way.
Restless One, that is from Brandy and Dave, Twilight Hotel there from their first CD, and it's a pleasure to welcome you guys here. How you doing?
We're good. Thanks
Wonderful.
For having us.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Well, it's a pleasure. I don't know what took us so long. how you guys been?
We've been great.
I bet. Things seem to be well in your world. First of all, it's funny because I know both of you have been on the show with me in solo mode, but I think this is the first time together, perhaps, that you guys have both been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So how long have you been Twilight Hotel, I guess?
Well, it's going to be, I think, almost 4 years come August
that
we've been Twilight Hotel.
Yeah.
Have you always been called Twilight Hotel?
Or no.
Did you just sort of, because I've known you as Brandy Zanan and Dave Quammen.
Yeah, I think. So.
Yeah, we adopted a band name. we thought it would stick.
Yeah.
Stick a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
Well, we, after going on the road for, I guess it was like a good year, even though we were a duo and we were billing ourselves with our names, everybody at the end of the show would still ask us, what's your band name?
Oh, really?
So,
really?
we sort of just realized that, okay, we need a band name. That's all there is to it. So, we came up with one. I think it's going all right so far. We're liking it.
It's worked out.
Yeah.
It's been okay, yeah.
How was, how did it come about? I know you guys both are sort of promising solo careers. Dave just sort of started a solo career after being in a band for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I guess, Brandy, you'd been you'd been doing the solo thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you were never really in a band, were you?
I wasn't, no.
So so how did it come about that these two you know, promising singer-songwriters...
Well, it came about one little piece at a time because I would do a show as a solo artist and Brandy would play mandolin and sing backup vocals, and then she'd do a show as a solo artist and I'd play guitar and sing backing vocals, and that went on for about 6 months, and then I started saying we ought to double bill, and then we'd share a night, or if it was a show of mine, I'd say, oh, I ought to give you a song in my show, and then one night we were doing a double bill and we decided instead of separating the sets, we'd throw the songs back and forth and therefore kind of take down that one last little mm-hmm. remaining separation between us, and then
it was inevitable, I think. ever since we started doing that, it's been so much fun, and we've had great response from our audience throughout, well, wherever we go. Just this past year, we've started to write more together, because that was something that we, even after we were a duo, we kept separate for a while.
Okay. Yep.
But that has started to come about, and it's wonderful. I think we're getting some of the best material we've ever written, you know, with writing together. We're bringing out the best in each other, so. Mm-hmm.
But like, do you seriously sit down and write songs together, or do you just come with bits and have the other
It's more
sort of
the bits right now, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
So far, every co-write has been slightly different. There's been a case where Brandy's, you know, almost finished a song, and I've thrown one or two words in, and it's finished the song. And there's been a song where Brandy came up with an idea, and she said, you know, I need some words, and I would jot down some words, but then she would go and write the song and come back and say, okay, here's the song. But mm-hmm. it contained some of my words, so therefore it's a co-write. You know, mm-hmm. every situation has been a little bit different. We haven't yet sat down and written a song from start to finish in front of each other.
No.
There's
no.
Still,
we don't say, like, okay, it's 6 o'clock, that's when we're going to write a song. But I think we're going to do more of that. We're going to try and... because now that we don't really have day jobs anymore. We haven't for a long time. And you can kind of, when you're on the road together so often, you end up, you know, those moments at the end of the night, you end up spending them separate because you spent the day in the car and then you're on stage together. And, but when we're at home on our off time, I think we'll probably, you know, schedule a weekend, like a songwriting weekend, where we'll go out and we will specifically do that. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We say we will, but you know.
Have you found that either one of you, I guess, that your writing has changed since you've been working together? Like, do you sort of challenge or inspire each other to greater heights, or do you find yourself adopting more of each other's styles or anything? Or
I think that my songwriting changed completely when I met Dave. I was doing a really folky thing.
Yeah.
When before I had met Dave, and I think I was like looking for some grit and some edge in my life. I was longing for that to write songs that just went a bit deeper, I think, and that definitely happened in terms of, I don't know, just bringing maybe a bit more of a rock sound.
I remember very specifically, Brandy came up to me one day, almost 5 years ago now, and said, I wrote this song, and I think it's kind of a new sound for me.
Is that what I said?
That is exactly what you said. I'm gonna buck the trend and say I don't think my writing style has changed.
I don't think so either.
Is that because you're too stubborn to change it?
I think
it was just good to start with. Oh, oh, no, it's true.
I was never a folk songwriter. I was writing.
Yeah.
I was a songwriting element in a rock band, and so if I write a folk song, it's kind of more of a novelty now. Mm-hmm. Most of the songs I write, I still have more of a band in mind. And part of the interesting thing for me with Twilight Hotel is that even though I have a band in mind, ultimately the song gets performed as a duo. And then the audience can come up to us and say, you know, that song, I could hear drums in that, and I could hear bass. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, I heard that too. We all hear that because it's not mm-hmm. a folk song. And so people like to ask us if we're folk singers, and in a way we are, but at the same time, I'm not sure that that's such a good handle for us.
No.
Considering.
So I guess that's kind of an interesting thing. Like, so when I see you play just together by yourselves, is that sort of only part of the song then? Or are we missing out when
no,
we go see you live?
If you're seeing us as a duo, you're seeing, you know, the normal show.
Yeah.
When we have musicians with us, it's a treat, and it's a bit extra. When we record a song and release it on an album, we tend to fill in those extra instruments, though.
Right.
So, like the track you guys just played, Restless One.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
We do that one as a duo every night, but on the album, it's got the keys, and it's got four saxophone parts, and it's drums.
I want to know. I was just reading the liner notes here to find out who was in your horn section. And I want to know how Jonathan Alexiak played all those instruments at the same time.
You know,
that's what I want to know. Like, how many mouths does this guy have?
I'd like to say it's, you know, the miracle of the modern studio, but he's actually quite talented. We each have two nostrils, one mouth, and another orifice somewhere. And
at least one, anyway.
Actually, who was that? It was Taj Mahal at Folk Festival maybe 2 years ago. Had a sax player come up and play two saxophones at once.
So we know it can be done.
It can be done. But no, John Alexiak is actually an army arranger. He arranges for the Army Brass Band.
Really?
Yeah, this is his day gig. And so he came in, he heard the song, and he said, oh, I got this great idea for a sax part. Give me four tracks. And he just did it on the spot, just like that.
Really?
He's a brilliant guy.
He thinks in orchestration. He doesn't...
But he really actually is a piano player, and he is on par with Richard Bell for sure, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
The first record, I mean, this is a pretty Winnipeg centric record. You got the Winnipeg All Stars on here. You got Dan Ra, Gilles Fournier, Joanna Miller, Bill Western, produced and you got Dan Donahue along and Mike Petkow and like you're not really missing anybody from the Winnipeg All Stars.
No one from the Dugoff family was involved. Yeah. Unfortunately, we were talking with their people and we just couldn't make it happen.
But I mean, obviously, Winnipeg has a great supportive community. How much did these people help you sort of? Like, did you have an idea what you were going for, or do these people all help you bring out that great sound that we just heard? Like, do you tell these people what to do, or do they come in and...
Well, for the most part, sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Or sometimes we just say, we're looking for, you know, this kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the musicians can just kind of do that kind of thing you're looking for.
Yeah.
Don't even have to say too much to it. But for this record, the approach that we took was we stripped the whole song down and started from, you know, the bass and drums up. And by the time we got to our parts that we were playing, we were no longer doing what we were doing live, which, you know, doesn't actually capture what we do live and the energy of the show. And that's kind of the one fault with the album. Because people, you know, when they get the record, they like it for what it is, but they say, well, you know what you guys were doing on stage that I saw last night, it just doesn't, you got to get that. You got to get that down somehow. So I think hopefully we have.
With the newest record.
Yes. Well,
I mean, it's early to talk about
it. It's early to talk about it. But
when we had Dan Waugh, the drummer, for a song like Restless One, we were just encouraging him to do a lot, and of course he's been in the studio tons, and he did that original Nathan record.
Yeah.
And he did the second Nathan record, and he made a comment to us that he was sort of surprised. In a lot of studio situations, he found that the drums were the simplest part, and they said, you know, kick and snare and one and four, and that's it. And we were telling him to... I was asking for trailer trash, and at one point in time, he grabbed his T-shirt, and he pulled the middle of his T-shirt out, and he took off his shirt another time, and he was...
Yeah,
and we were trying to get him. We were trying to get him to do stuff that he wouldn't normally do.
Yeah, and he really came through for us.
But to suggest that we actually told him what part to play...
No.
I mean, we're not drummers, so we sort of tried to tell him what we wanted. More, give us more, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. So, I don't know whether that was a hint, but can we talk about the new record? Or
yeah, we okay. can talk about it.
I didn't know whether it was
just Brandy said for the new one, and I didn't want it to be confusing for those listeners.
Okay. No.
So the new one is a bit different.
The new one.
Not quite so Winnipeg-centric.
No, actually not at all. The only Winnipeg parts are Dave and I. And, well, we just got home yesterday from recording a record in Nashville. And
hanging out with a little guy named, maybe you've heard of him.
we had a wonderful time. We spent time with, well, Colin Linden was producing the record. And he brought in his friend, well, many friends. And these guys, it's basically a circle of friends that have made records together for 35 years, or I think at most 35 years, some 25, but for a long time. And they all are the best of friends. And Colin can just call up certain people and say, I got this project. It's going to be a lot of fun. You should come and play on it. And, you know, that's how Richard Bell got involved. That's how Dave Rowe, who was Cash's bassist for the last 9 years, he played bass. And gosh, Gary Craig, who was actually just in town playing with Kathleen Edwards.
Yeah.
You know, it was incredible. These guys were so fun. And we tracked in 6 days, and it was a blast.
Now, how the hell do you get Colin Linden to produce your record? I mean, this guy's in demand. I mean, he's produced everybody. He's worked with all kinds of people.
He's a busy man.
We're not quite sure. Ultimately, we didn't call him.
I don't think he owed you money.
No.
Ultimately, I think it was the fact that our manager, Rosalie Goldstein, was working at the Winnipeg Folk Festival when 15-year-old Colin Linden played there in 1976. And she's able to remember that. And I think that gave her...
She was able to remind him of that.
I think she threatened him somehow.
No, yeah, who knows? It was great. He said he wanted to do it, and it all happened very quickly.
Yeah.
And we came back from... We were done our tour. We were on the road for a good 2 months, and we headed down to Nashville, met Colin for the first time, and did some pre-production with him, and then came back home here for a few weeks, and then drove straight down to Nashville, 20-hour drive, and then started recording the next day.
Is it intimidating or somewhat uncomfortable to go in with somebody who's been producing for so long?
We thought it was going to be.
We did think. Yeah. Yes. The thought of it.
Yeah.
It was just the thought of it. But as soon as we got there, there's just something about cities where there's a lot of professionals who've worked with a lot of people.
Yeah.
There's just respect all around for everybody. You're not treated like a newcomer or a small-time band. Everybody needs work, and, you know, we employed people, and they were respectful of that, and they had a great time. And, you know, it didn't feel like they were doing us a favor. You know?
I thought it was going to feel that way.
Yeah.
Because maybe in Winnipeg, you know, if you think of certain people that have sort of established a name for themselves in Winnipeg, you know, maybe you get a little bit of a sense of, you know, they're proud of themselves, and you think you're going to encounter that in Nashville, but like Brandy said, I mean, it's a town full of working musicians, and Dave Rowe, the aforementioned bass player with Johnny Cash, he walked in and we said, well, thank you so much for coming and being a part of this, and he just looked at us and said, thanks for the work. You got any beer in the fridge? He honestly said that, and we gave him a beer, and he played, and it was... We didn't think about it after that.
It was fantastic, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just got to think it's got to be an exciting thing. Like, have you heard, obviously you listened back to what you recorded that day.
Yeah, we were able to take home the 5-minute mixes, which are really fun because you can hear the count-ins and you can hear us talking after the take and saying, "Oh, that was really good," or "Oh, we got to do that again." Which is funny because, you know, we'd end up using the first take, and at the end of the take, you can hear everyone saying, oh, we got to do that again. I couldn't hear the piano, or I couldn't hear the whatever.
Yeah, for the most part, when we recorded the songs in the first 3 days, we did 12 songs, and we recorded maybe 3, maximum 4 takes of each song. And it ended up, Colin wanted to go with the first take or second take usually, because that was the one with the most... energy, because once you start doing it over and over again, you're trying to create the moments that you've just done. Like, yeah. Oh, that was great what I just did there, and I'm going to do it again, but it's going to be forced, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So, you
and
know.
Colin also had a theory that when the players, and I mean not us, because we know the song, but for the people, the drummer or Richard Bell, the people that don't know the song, when they're playing to a song that they don't know, they play a certain way, and the minute they learn it, they become session players. And so Colin was just, he was trying to use the takes that they didn't sound like session players.
Right.
Yeah, where they were being the most creative with it. So it was quite interesting. We're really happy with how it turned out. And it was, you know, it was the biggest learning experience just to hang out with these people who have been making records for this long. You know, you don't even really need to have much conversation and you just learn from them. You learn from the way they sit, you yeah. know, anything. They yeah. just... or the way they treat someone else. It's amazing. We're blessed to have gone down there and done that.
So did this change the overall sound? Is this one more indicative of the live show now, or is it
We think it is.
We based it around what we do.
Yeah.
You know, we spend a lot of time arranging the songs and the parts for when we perform them live. Like what I'm gonna do on guitar and the vocal harmonies. We spend probably more time on that than the actual song itself. It seems like anyway. Maybe that's not true of everything. But where was I going with that? I lost my train of thought.
Well, I think what you were gonna say was that when we arrived at the studio, we were able to play the song start to finish with an arrangement that Colin didn't change. He sort of said, okay, that's you guys. You are constant. And around you, I'm going to, you know, assemble yeah. this, the rest of it. And so to go back to our previous record and Brandy saying we stripped it down, and by the time we added our parts on, we had to change our parts to fit with what mm-hmm. was there, meant that we didn't capture what our live sound was. But with this one, we... It's the inverse process. It starts with what we do live, and Colin, I mean, maybe it was his idea that he wasn't going to change it, or maybe he didn't think it needed changing, but he didn't change anything that we do. He just spoke to the drummer and said, you know, I'm hearing this feel, or he talked to the keyboard player, and then he coaxed the takes out of us, and he made sure that we were at ease, and he made mm-hmm. sure we were comfortable.
Which I think is the biggest thing a producer can do is get the best out of the artist.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
really, yeah. Not just stamp their sound on somebody, but right. really make them feel like they can do their best performance at that moment. And he really got that out of us. It was interesting. We didn't use headphones the whole time. We were singing in a room together. It just felt really good to do it that way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think we've really mentioned yet, but you're playing next week at the Gas Station Theater on the 23rd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 23rd. Wednesday.
Yes.
And how much are tickets?
Tickets are $10.
All right.
And you can get them in advance at the gas station or at Into the Music or at the door.
And I'm sure you have some special guests along for the ride?
I'm not actually sure who's going to be playing with us that night, but there will be somebody. And actually, the horn player we were talking about before, Jonathan Alexiak, I think he might be out with us that night playing some keys and some trumpet.
That'd be good.
Yeah, we had a show at Times Change right before we left for the record, and yeah. we experimented. We did Joanna Miller, John Alexiak, and the two of us without a bass player. And it was kind of a cool arrangement. And yeah. a bunch of the songs on the record also ended up not having bass. So that might be something that we're going to explore.
Mm-hmm. As well, Serena Postel will be opening the show.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it'll be a nice night. We haven't actually played a formal concert like this in about a year
in
Winnipeg.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a while. So.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be fun.
Good for folks. Do you want to play us a song? Or
I'd love to play a song for you guys.
I would too.
This is a newer song for us, and I won't say too much about it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Put on your scarf, love. Tuck your hair in tight. There's no beauty here. Down here it's always night. You're going down, 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 down. You're going down, 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 down. My daddy, he's a ranger. My brother works there too. Down at the mine where the air is always blue. I come home crying at the end of the night. I've been feeling the town tremble most of my life. Put on your scarf, love. Tuck your hair inside. There's no beauty here. Down here it's always night. You're going down, 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 down. You're going down, 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 down. Those union boys, they whisper. They whisper at my back. They'll make it hard enough today, but tomorrow I'll be back. I got a knife in my lunch pail, a screwdriver in my boot, to keep those union boys at bay when I come walking through.
Put on your scarf, love. Tuck your hair inside. There's no beauty here. Down here it's always night. You're going down, 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 down. You're going down, 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 down. You're going down, 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 down. It brings me to my knees. My heart's as hot as coal, and my words are sharp as steel.
Words are sharp as
scarf, love. Tuck your hair inside. There's no beauty here. Down here it's always night.
You're going down, 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 down. Yes, you're going down, down,
down, down, down.
You're going down, down,
down, down, down.
Down, down, down.
Wow, that was great, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We're almost out of time here, so can we coax you into playing another one?
Yeah, sure. We can do another one here.
Sure.
Good
what
job,
was that
KK.
Called, by the way?
That one was called No Place for a Woman.
Is that on the new album, or is that...
It
yeah?
is going to be, yes.
Very nice.
This song is called Sand in Your Eyes.
I want you to be my muse again, and pull all the beauty from me that you can, before the day-to-day thieves made off with the flame.
Once was a boy lost in those eyes, and how could those watery pools run dry? Our innocent shelved, our passions canned and dry. And we've been saying lately that we used to make it. We both long for it, but we only talk of it now.
So let me count the ways that I've done you wrong. Cause sorrow and heartache make better songs than love. It's just sand in your eyes. Strangers in bed dreaming separate lives, and even politicians sell better lies than love. It's just sand in your eyes. We're cynics recovering from chances we took. Our hearts are just things in anatomy books. It takes a failure to learn where to hide your desire. Just like blood in the veins, only traveling home. Routine has dug us in the tracks of our own. I would have followed you anywhere till I lost sight.
And we've been saying lately that we used to make it. We both long for it, but we only talk of it now. We only talk of it now.
So let me
count the ways that I've done you wrong. Cause sorrow and heartache make better songs than love.
It's just sand in your eyes.
We're strangers in bed dreaming separate lives, and even politicians sell better lies than love.
It's just sand in your eyes. I want you to be my muse again. Pull all the beauty from me that you can. How could water so ever run dry?
Oh, that's pretty indeed. That's Twilight Hotel, Brandy and Dave, and playing next week at the Big Gas Station Theater. I can't imagine anybody not wanting to come now. But
Wednesday, May 23rd.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks
guys.
For having
and,
us.
And once again, tickets are available at the gas station. Into the Music,
mm-hmm.
and only $10. We actually have some to give away. Mm-hmm. Rosalie told us we could give some away.
That's
so.
Right.
Should we think of a trivia question or just? Or should we just go easy on
Ooh,
folks?
Ooh, how about this?
Oh.
What was the name of Dave's former band he was in?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
But also, if nobody knows,
yeah,
that's okay.
if you don't know, call anyway.
Because nobody probably will. So.
We'll also award really silly band names as suggestions.
That's true, yes.
Do you want to go out with a song from your latest record?
Let's go out with a song. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, how about Heartbreaker? That's a good one.
Excellent. The old Led Zeppelin song. No?
No.
All right. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next week, 6:30 to 8 o'clock.
Thursday, steelbeltaradio.com.
I'll be back on Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Tell the band to go home. And you guys have a website, right?
Twilighthotel.ca.
All right.
And
thanks.
For tickets, 269. Yeah, right. 269.
6. Yeah, you were just saying that. Say it again. Say it again. I stepped on you.
269.
8636 or 269 UMFM.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Breaker, heartbreaker, little lovemaker, you ain't never been let down before. Breaker, heartbreaker, little lovemaker, you ain't never been let down before. I've seen a lot, love lost and hearts torn to shreds, left bleeding dry beneath the summer sky. Love, silver bullet in the head. But a breaker, a heartbreaker, such erratic behavior. Then you love her, then you hate her. She's a giver, and then the taker. She's a breaker, a heartbreaker. She's a love song, melody maker. But it ain't shreds, left bleeding dry beneath the summer sky.